Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is Adam Hinkey of the AP course. Anthony should be joining us shortly. This evening, we're going to, first of all, thank you for listening in. We know we've been kind of away the past couple of weeks. I've been battling a cold, also a little bit under the weather today. I apologize. Just a lot of fun stuff going on today. But anyhow, we wanted to discuss a lot of stuff going on from the updates on the local elections to updates on how to run your campaign 101, some sports thoughts. I know we're kind of talking about that, and just some other thoughts that have come to mind over the last 2 weeks or so. So without further ado, just to kind of give some updates on the election until Anthony joins us, some of the more prominent positions, we'll say, or at least more contested positions. That's a better way to put it. So smart, Adam. For selectmen, there's been some additions that have come on. Obviously, as we've mentioned recently, that there's Peter May and Tony Longo. They're the newcomers to the realm. Ann Santos and Phyllis Hull, they've pulled their papers for re-election. There's three seats open. Tiz Dodo, he is no longer going to be running. Shame to see him leave, but best of wishes to him. And also Daniel Benjamin, he's pulled papers as well. So it's a five-person race for three seats. Again, Peter May, Tony Longo, incumbents, Ann Santos, Phyllis Hull, and then there's also Daniel Benjamin. And late as usual, here is Anthony Guadia. Hello, ladies.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm only 2 minutes late. Hey, you didn't send me the website. You sent me the phone number, by the way.
I sent you the phone number because you didn't call. So we're already in the show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I figured we could have a personal conversation over the air for the next 27 minutes and 45 seconds.
If it makes sense, if it makes sense. If it makes you feel better, I actually wasn't listening. I was looking up some news article. I guess some news broke on Hillary Clinton. But, yeah, so what were we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the updates for the local elections. Specifically, I was kind of getting into, the selectman race, three positions available, two incumbents running, and then the three newcomers to the position. Or I shouldn't say three newcomers necessarily, but three others running for the positions. I mentioned how there's Ann Santos and Phyllis Hull, both incumbents to selectmen. We have Dan Benjamin, Peter May, and Tony Longo looking to fill the third and final seat. I'm not saying that Ann and Phyllis are shoo-ins. We are not endorsing anybody here. That's not our job. Maybe one of these days when we're super big, when, 20,000 people from the town listen to us, maybe we'll start doing stuff like that. But we're not doing that.
No, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, I know, officially we don't endorse because we have all the candidates on. And I know we've been talking about a debate, or at least having some sort of town hall conversation with the candidates, which would be fun. But one thing on this, I think the issue of the day is going to be the override. And, I mean, I'm pretty much in favor of the override. I know Phyllis has come out against the override. So I think for Phyllis, you may not be such a shoo-in if, and these are two big ifs, one, if you have a high parent turnout in a regular election, which usually doesn't happen. It's usually, those are usually offbeat elections where you get that high young family, young parent turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Or two, if they do come on, I think she could be in serious trouble. Or two, if another candidate other than her is against the override. And I don't know, Anthony Longo's stance. I don't know Peter May's stance. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Dan Benjamin is opposed to it. I know Dan really well, great guy. I just don't want to speak for him. And, again, I don't want to speak for Ann either, but I'm going to assume that she's for it. She's relatively to the left of center. So we'll see. I think that's going to be the defining issue of the race, and I think that could end up being problematic for one side or the other. I mean, again, it depends. I mean, the last few elections, I mean, we had people getting elected with 900 votes, you know. And, I mean, even going back to my election, I mean, if I remember correctly, I think the Bob Etson, you know, grade school committee member lost, you know, but was at 1,700 votes, and he still didn't place. So, you know, people are getting elected with, you know, absurdly low vote totals, and that's not a shot at the people running. That's a shot at the general electorate. You know, you only need whatever it takes to win. So you know, me and Cheryl got elected. Cheryl was another excellent school committee. I always joke, out of those three, I was the worst. You know, Cheryl got 1,800 votes, and she barely beat Bob. You know, and here we are. You know, and now it only takes 900, and 900 people end up being, you know, the hardcore people who vote, who tend to be seniors, who tend to be more fiscally conservative. You could see Phyllis top the ticket, and maybe you see one or two people who are anti-override sneak in. So we'll see. It's interesting. Anybody we have on the show, I know I've said this before, your first question for me, or at least one of the first, will be, you know, do you support the override, yes or no? Don't give me, you know, credit to Phyllis. I absolutely love and admire her honesty. She says, no, I'm against it. I can't stand the answer. You know, and that'll be one way to get me not to vote for you, is if you say, oh, well, I have to review the budget. I mean, this is a $120 million project. There's no way we're doing it without an override. well, I shouldn't say that, but for the most part, it doesn't look like we'll be able to do it without an override. So, you know, what's the answer? You know, you either think we need a tax increase for our schools or you don't. So it'll be fun. So with that said, now no kid is going to come on the show, but we'll see.
That's not necessarily true. I'm sure we'll have a candidate or two. Ideally, it'd be totally fun to do a debate with everybody on which probably won't happen. But yeah, it'd be great if we get all five people on and just kind of talk it over with them and see, you know, their thoughts and what they're thinking, just as another avenue to get, you know, their opinion out. Because more so, it's not, again, it's not so much endorsing someone or really saying that one candidate's better versus another. It's more getting people active in regards to voting at this point. That I that's kind of how I see it. I think it's silly that we have a town of 26,000 people and only 2,000, maybe 2,500 show up in April to vote. And again, not knocking the candidates, it's just that's what's going to happen. Just looking at, you know, the numbers from last year, there wasn't a ton of contended races. School committee was contended last April, but that was really it. And I think the voter turnout for that was just over 2,000 votes.
Well, if I remember correctly,
insane.
Rob Hero won with like 900 votes. And that's not a shot at Rob. I don't really know Rob that well. I don't know his voting record that well. I haven't been following it enough. But I do know that, you know, God, I mean, less than 1,000 is, it used to be if you got less than 1,000, it was embarrassing. Now it's, you know, now it gets you elected. So, and again, that's not a shot at the candidates. It's a shot at the electorate of so few people are voting. I mean, you can only get, you know, you get 80%, you know, you're winning. It's just, unfortunate that you're only, there's so few people voting.
No, I completely agree. And I kind of wonder if this kind of harkens back to one of the other topics I kind of wanted to touch about tonight is regarding how to run an election. And I know there's different ways to go about it, but I feel, and Anthony, you tell me if I'm off base, but I feel like one of the major ways to really, if you want to get the name recognition, if you want to have people know who you are and what you stand for, I think the number one thing you can do is just go door to door. Even if that is only to 2,500 people, because you expect a low turnout, even still, I think by you going and meeting them, shaking hands and explaining why you're running, what good you want to do for the community, I think that means everything in the world. Even if, you know, you're Phyllis Hull, for example, who, you know, says she stands for seniors and doesn't believe in the tax override to have a new school, that's great. That's what she believes in. That's great. That's her conviction. If she's going out there and saying that door-to-door and she meets enough people, all the power to her. You know, I think that's the best way that you're going
to
be able to.
God bless her. And she, I hope I can still, I hope I have half her energy when I'm her. know, when I'm her age, and again, she's, you know, I think she would openly admit she's a very, very active senior citizen, and I really do admire, even though I don't agree with her, I absolutely do admire the energy and the effort she puts into this.
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree. But getting back to the actual, you know, how to run the campaign, I mean, would you say that's one of the better ways or the best way, especially in the local election?
And I think that's, I mean, it, you know, I'll walk back a little bit in my previous statement where I said, you know, it's a shout at the electorate. I still think at the end of the day, even if you don't like the candidates, you should go out and make a choice because, you know, they're going to define how you live your life. They're going to define how your town moves. So even if nobody excites you, still, if the, you know, if there are significant differences, go out and vote. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if the, you know, very practically, you know, there's an apathetic electorate, then you have to make it your job to get them out. And, you know, you need to make it your job to get people excited about your candidacy. You know, I believe door-to-door is the strongest way, but I also think, you know, mailings and having a strong message and letters to the paper and, you know, and all that fun stuff. Again, I think door-to-door wins every time over all that. I mean, I tell people, you know, if you have to pick, all, you know, spending all day doing dear friend cards or all day going door-to-door, go door-to-door. Nothing beats it. So, I mean, to a certain extent, it is also on the candidate to get people excited, get people out. But I think, you know, that's a third of the battle. I mean, it should really also be on, you know, a citizen's responsibility to go out and pick the leaders of their town. Because, you know, again, I always go back to the Wakefield community group. That's a community group of what, you know, 3,000 plus people, and there's a lot of complaints about the town on there.
It's more than that now. It's actually a group, if you've looked lately, it's over 5,500 or just under 5,500. Which I'm shocked that it's that high.
We know for a fact that 5,500 people don't vote, you know?
Right. No, I fully agree with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't post on that about what you don't like about the town and then not vote, you know, when the time comes. So it is. I mean, it's definitely interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely. And actually, it is kind of interesting that there's a lot of topics that are brought up there for a group that large, and yet it's just the voter turnout isn't spiked a little bit from that. And granted, not everybody in the community group is necessarily from Wakefield still. I mean, some of them have kind of moved on or lived here years before, but still want to be involved with some of the town news, if you will. Then again, a lot of it is crazy talk for the most part. So, you know, it's just interesting that there's a group that big and yet still, you know, not nearly enough people come out.
No, I agree. It's just, it's shocking. So, I mean, we'll, I'm curious to see what's going to happen as time progresses, and especially the override vote, because the override will bring people out to vote. And, you know, those people, I hope, will stay involved because, you know, I think wouldn't it be great if the number of people who voted for the Galvin voted for every election. I mean, you talk about a demographic shift and talk about, you know, the priorities of the electorate. Because, I mean, if you're a selectman and, you know, you think that, you know, you really have to follow what your constituents want, you know, your constituents might be just be, in your mind, you can make an argument that only 1,000 people vote and I'm only going to report to what those 1,000 people want because they're the only people who care. I mean, I don't agree with that, but I mean, there's definitely a logic to it. And it goes back to, again, people need to vote.
No, completely agree with you. It's all about getting out to vote and people going in to vote. So beyond just what we were mentioning for how to run a campaign by doing door-to-door, what else do you think is a key thing that for this political cycle in April? Like, what do you think would help in a local election? Because I think we both kind of agree with the door-to-door stuff. It is different than running in if this was a vote for local office that was happening in November, it'd be a totally different ball game, because then you'd be running into, say, 5,000 to 7,000 voters, as opposed to just the 2,500 that we're speaking of. So, what do you think would in this election would be the next like best step, like to really help you get out there?
I think it's, you know, I think if you're a candidate running, you know, your job has to be get out. But if it's not going door to door, it's, you know, it really is getting out the votes. I mean, you know, we talked the numbers, and you look back on it, it is a numbers game. So, you know, last few elections, people had won with 1,000 votes. So find 1,200 people, you know, mark them, and then annoy the hell out of them on election day to come go out and vote. And also, you know, definitely stand for something. I think that's what makes candidates truly unique. I mean, you know, you have to, you know, again, I'm picking on Phyllis only because she really does have a brand. And, you know, people know what she stands for. I think, you know, when I ran, and I think this probably fell to Evan and Rob as well, just being young, you know, saying, I'm a recent graduate who wants to be on the school committee and give that perspective. Mm-hmm. I know Rob didn't go to public schools, but I mean, still, that's kind of, I think, the unique identifier. So, you know, I think that every candidate has to find, you know, what makes them unique. And it can't be, you know, Phyllis has a great pitch. She gets to say, I'm a senior on a board dominated by people who are not seniors. I bring that unique voice. Rob and Evan have that same thing. I'm on a board, you know, that's not dominated by recent graduates. I bring that unique voice. You know, Ann Santos also has one. I'm Board of Health, former prosecutor. You know, great credentials to bring to a selection. So what are going to be those unique credentials? I mean, you can't, I always tell people stay away, especially in a local race, stay away from generic. Everybody's honest. And I mean this seriously. I'm not trying to joke around. You know, for the most part, everybody's honest. Everybody's hardworking. Everybody's, you know, whatever the other catchphrases are. So, you know, stay away from, you know, hardworking, confident, trustworthy. No, that's everybody in town. Nobody, we don't have a lot of jerks in this town. I think everybody, for the most part, is hardworking, honest, and has pretty good leadership skills. The question becomes, what makes you different? What makes you unique? You know, and I think that's where people have to find out, you know, why are they running and what can they bring that nobody else can bring to the table? And it's a lot easier said than done. I mean, I don't know what Peter May or Tony Longo can bring to the table. I think I know what Dan does. I don't want to speak for his campaign. I think Dan's unique qualifier is the fact that he served probably, hey, he's another senior citizen. He's served on the board that doesn't have a lot of those. B, he served on so many volunteer boards. I mean, this is a guy who has dedicated his later years to bettering the community. So he might be able to make an argument there that, you know, you want somebody who's involved in all these civic organizations and, you know, nobody's more involved than me. You know, so that's, you know, and that kind of goes back to, if you have that unique qualifier, it gets you excited. And if it gets you excited, then, you know, you're going to go out and vote. So it's it goes back. I mean, I'm trying to think through the candidates now. Greg Liakos had a good one with his background in culture and arts. He was really able to use that. Paul DiNacco, when he ran, really talked about his time on the planning board. That's what made him unique. You know, so it's good. Pat Glynn talked about his property management background, which was great. You know, and he was able to use that. Chris Callinan as a business owner. You know, so we have a lot of great candidates. The fact is, you know, I think people have to, you know, find a way to promote themselves that's realistic. It can't be, again, it can't be those buzzwords that in a small town race aren't that applicable. Again, you know, I hate candidates who come out in a local election and say, you know, I'm picking on, like, I'm hardworking, I'm honest, and I'm a confident leader. Well, yeah, no crap. Everybody in this town is. I haven't met somebody who doesn't work hard. I haven't met somebody who's a liar, and I haven't met somebody, you know, who, you know, isn't confident. We're all, you know, Wakefield's a great town because most of all the leadership, I can't really think of anybody who's not, because all the leadership have those positive quotes, positive traits. That's why we're going in such a good direction. So, you know, so you got to tell me what makes you different. You know, why do I want to vote for you over somebody else? And that doesn't mean take down the other person. That means tell me what makes you unique. And you got to find that. And again, it's, and then you got to, once you find it, you got to say it, you know, and you got to say it 1,000 times. But I don't know what it is for the other candidates simply because I don't know them. So we'll see. It's going to be, it's fun. I mean, that's another question we'd have if we had them on, you know, is what does make you different? You know, what makes you different than the other candidates? Again, in a positive way about you, not, you know, because one way to lose a lot of votes in a town election is to go negative. And I think it'll be interesting because I think we'll see that, not the negativity, but I think we'll see that discussion play out in the state rep race. And I don't know if you want to talk about it, but I think, you know, we have a primary that's so interesting between Saraton Risotto and Jennifer Migliori, you know, because, you know, both are young women, both have fabulous backgrounds, both are competent and articulate. And I actually think the world of Representative Wong as well. I think he's done a marvelous job. I think he's... you know, I think he has a very unique background with his background with his family and with the business. I think it's going to be a great race all around. So the question for us, though, in the primary is who, you know, what can each candidate bring? And I'm actually really looking forward to that debate and that discussion because I think both of them have some great qualities that, you know, even if they don't win, I think they bring it to the voters and, you know, at least give us a choice. And I think, you know, the discussion will move Wakefield forward. And again, I think we're lucky to have great state representation on all levels, whether it's Jason, Paul, or Donald. All three of them tend to, at least when I call them, tend to get right back and tend to give, you know, great feedback, whether I agree with them or don't agree with them. They're all good people, you know, and for example, I disagree with Jason now on the being able to call people while you're driving. It probably does make sense. It probably is a good bill, but man, you know, I think every time I see people driving and calling all the time, I think that's when the majority of people get their phone calls done, and I just don't know how you practically enforce it.
How are you able to talk this long on the phone? You know, doing the show without being in the car on the phone.
Yeah, this show is based on the fact of me being stuck in traffic. So literally Jason Lewis would have spill. But my point is I can disagree with them and still genuinely enjoy the discussions they bring. So it is. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what those unique qualifiers are. And Saraton and Jennifer are just, you know, two young women with, I think, relatively similar backgrounds. Jennifer from government, Saraton from the nonprofit world. So it's going to be interesting to see what they say makes them uniquely qualified to take on Representative Wong coming out of the Democratic primary. I don't know. I don't think anybody's challenging Broder or Lewis. I could be wrong, but I haven't seen anything.
I'm not too sure in regards to with regards to Broder or Lewis. I haven't heard anything. I mean, technically, it is a little early. In regards to finding out stuff, although, I mean, I do think the earlier you get involved, the better your chances are. So if you're looking to run, I mean, announce it now, get them scared so that way they start spending money before they need to.
I agree. The reason that one of the biggest mistakes, and there were a lot on the state Senate campaign, was not getting in early enough and then also not fundraising early. I mean, it's one thing to get in now, but if you're Saraton or Jennifer, I mean, what you don't want to do is you don't want it to be September and you're running low on money. You know, I would just spend the next 3 or 4 months, I mean, again, because it's still very early, just dialing for dollars. I mean, you got to raise, even in a state rep race now, I mean, and when I ran, we spent about $40,000, and that was considered low. And now I think there's, you know, when I talked to a consultant the other day, not because I'm running this for Katrina Eagle, but a buddy of mine, was telling me, you know, now for a good state rep race, bare minimum, and you're barely, you know, doing any polling, you're at like $65,000. I mean, that's what you got to raise to win. And they, you know, you got to do it now.
Yeah, and that's especially when you're going up against someone That's
not only going against Voss, you know.
Well, specifically in that race. I mean, Donald's very well liked for who he represents, and Donald as well. He, you know, if he ever wanted to, I mean, the Wongs have the Kowloons, you know. So I mean, if he ever wanted to just drop a million, he totally could. Not saying he would, but yeah, if he really wants that seat and he really believes in what he stands for representing, you know, half of Wakefield and the parts of Saugus that he has, and you know, the part of Lynn that he has, I mean, he could totally do it. You know, if he ever felt threatened that way, I don't know how much he feels in regards to having to do that, but I highly doubt he would. But you know, it's an interesting race in the primary between Jen and Saraton. I'd be curious to see how far Saraton. It's interesting where she was. I believe she was originally from Lynn, and now that she lives in Wakefield and is in Wakefield for a couple of years now. It's interesting that she's taking a Wakefield perspective in running. With Jen, I mean, I know her background. She's been in Saugus, I think, pretty much her whole life. And just seeing where she's grown up into government. I know she worked for Seth Moulton for a while. And obviously that was an interesting race in and of itself. And, you know, she's involved in that. So it'll be good to see what happens. You know, best of luck to them. Again, we don't endorse anybody. You know, I like Donald a lot, so they're going to have to win over some votes and see what happens.
I mean, they're going to get a ton of money.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have a little bit of time, and I kind of wanted you on our, if you will, and more side. I did want to kind of talk about a recent failure, or no, I shouldn't say failure. Excuse me, a recent downside in terms of sports for us. As many of you may know, Anthony bleeds Patriots blue and red all over the place. And unfortunately, there was a death in the season this year. As of last Sunday, Patriots are no longer in the playoffs, not going to the Super Bowl. It's very sad. So I figured, Anthony, we could give you, you know, 90 seconds if you wanted to kind of air your grievances. You're more than welcome to it.
No, I was actually first off, I was worried. I mean, you brought that in kind of intensely, so I thought actually somebody had passed away. I just jumped on Twitter thinking that something happened. On that note, no, I mean, it was just a brutal loss. Believe it or not, this loss hasn't affected me as much as other ones. People know I get really upset when the Patriots lose, and I think I get upset when they lose, and I think they should have won when they haven't played up to their talent. This game, I think the Broncos were just the better team on defense. I mean, that defense just was better than the offensive line. And believe me, I'm glad that coach got fired. I think the offensive line coach was terrible. If you read what Matt Light's been saying about it being clear that the Patriots didn't practice the snap count, which is basic offense. I mean, listen, I've never played football, and I know offensive lines should be practicing snap counts. You know, the fact that didn't happen, you know, I'm glad, you know, again, I guess what I should say is I never want to see anybody lose their job, but I'm glad they're going in a different direction because he clearly wasn't doing a good job. But I do think the talent there was not up to par. I mean, they lose Ryan Lindell, their starting interior lineman. I think it was a broken leg, if I remember correctly. And they lose Nate Solder, starting left tackle with a torn bicep. So you got to move Sebastian Vollmer from his natural right tackle. Well, actually, so you start the season, when Lindell goes down, you kick Vollmer out to tackle.
Hey, I got some breaking news for you real quick. So I've been kind of, I shouldn't say I've been chatting, Mr. Chris Carino has been messaging me, and I can't repeat a lot of the stuff he's been telling me because they've been great. And thank you, Chris. I was going to give you a shout-out just at the end of this. So Chris has been kind enough to reach out to Tony Longo, and he's actually going to be doing the show for us. So we're going to kind of chat about that and get some details on that. We'll definitely bring that forward for you. So awesome. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Tony. We really appreciate it. Hope you don't mind that I'm calling you Tony. Anthony, I don't want to confuse our listeners. There's Tony Longo.
Longo. I'm not tough enough to be a Tony, so I'll take it.
This is true. So just so I can get everything in, I wanted to really thank Chris Carino. He's been awesome with me the past 2 weeks. I told him how I was looking to do a website for our show, and he's really helped out with that. Hopefully we'll be announcing the official website, but it looks great. It's going to be awesome. So thank you for listening. Obviously, we're on blogtalkradio.com/AP_course. Follow us on Facebook, The AP Course, or on Twitter, at The AP Course. Sorry for ruining the end of that, Anthony, but thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back soon. Talk to you later. Bye.